Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
I want to jump right into the Word because we have a lot to do. We're actually going to be dedicating a couple of babies at the end of the service as well. Just got a full day of victory. So I want to talk about the power for victorious living that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. So if you will, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just ask for your anointing to be rich in this place today. I am thankful today for the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's come to move us and shake us and make us into that you have a plan for our life, Father, and that we acknowledge and recognize today that we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, Lord, as we talk for just a few moments about living victorious, Lord, I'm thankful that we have the power to do that. We're no longer trying, striving, Lord, working in the flesh to try to live for you, but that we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and we can walk out that power all the days of our life. So we give you thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Acts chapter 1, I quoted this a minute ago, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Jesus is declaring this to his disciples, and he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This morning, I had the privilege of meeting a young man who was born in another country, and he's been here for a few weeks visiting with us. And as we chatted for a moment, and I was thinking about all the different people in our house that have come here to America and to Florida and to Gainesville and to the Rock of Gainesville, and the privilege we have of becoming family. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We get to become family here and now. And I was thinking of all the missions opportunities that I've had over the last 36 years now, 174 different missions trips around the world where I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing people's lives impacted. This morning as I was watching some of these being baptized and I was watching some of the parents as they're trying to take pictures or video and tears streaming down their face because of the significance of water baptism, because Jesus said to the disciples, in this verse that I just quoted, he said, receive the Holy Spirit and the power so that you can be my witness, beginning in Jerusalem, which all of us know is where? Our Gainesville. You don't have to go to Israel, to Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is right here. Our beginning is right here. Our foundation is right here. And so when we live out as a witness and a testimony of the things of God, then we begin in our Jerusalem. Then we go to Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. Judea is stark. And name whatever town you can think about. And I met someone the other day. I was in a doctor's office, and there were two young ladies that were helping the doctor. One of them was from West Gainesville, from Trenton, and the other one came in, and they both had some serious, I don't say Florida accents, because I've been in Florida my whole life, and I don't have an accent. So, but they had an Alabama accent, and sorry about that, Miss Karen, but one of them's from Trenton, the other one's from Stark, and the one from Stark was bragging because Stark has more red lights than Trenton has. That's not saying much, is it? Trenton has one. They are our outermost parts. They are the part of the world that God has given us power, given us provision, given us influence, given us the finances. In a couple of weeks, actually 2 weeks from today, we will be launching our summer Reach Week program, and we're excited about it. We're in all the preparations for doing all the things that the Lord's opening doors for us to do around the city of Gainesville and Alachua County and the surrounding communities. But we can go out and try to do that in the flesh, or we can rely upon the Holy Spirit of God so that whatever we do, whatever we put our hands to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to have an impact on someone's life. It's not going to just be giving somebody a drink of water because they're thirsty, or feeding somebody because they're hungry, or helping a widow fix their house. All of those will appreciate all of that, but that in and of itself will not change their life. They need the person of Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And they need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, as we look through Scripture, and I don't have time to teach a lot of this foundational, but if you go back to John 14, 15, and 16, right in the middle of John telling all the stories of what Jesus did and how he came to the earth and in his childhood and then his being led into the wilderness and his temptation and all that he went through to get to the place where Jesus was able to fulfill his purpose and plan that God had for him, which was to go to the cross. It wasn't just to preach good news. It wasn't just to feed hungry people or raise a few dead folks, but it literally, Jesus came with a plan to go to the cross, because without the cross, you and I are not saved. And yet, the disciples who walked with Jesus for 3 solid years, as you read through the Scriptures, whether it's Matthew's gospel or Mark, or Luke, or John, doesn't matter. All 4 of those gospel writers tell the same story. The disciples, without the Holy Spirit, they were a hot mess. I've heard Pastor Jamie use that term before. They're a hot mess. I mean, they wanted to live for God, but they would open their mouth and stick a foot in, and then they'd take that foot out only to put the other foot in. They weren't getting it. I mean, you think about it. How many of you have ever been on a camping trip? Let me see your hand, your campers. Oh, we got a lot of campers in here. Hiking trip. How many of you have been on a hiking trip? How many of you have been like to the Appalachian Trails and done, wow, look at all these hikers, man, it's cool. Years ago, we went on a hiking trip, quite a few of them, with a bunch of people from the church, and we had our dog Sophie with us, and we would have a great time hiking, because, you know, as you begin to hike through the Appalachian Trail, it's several thousand miles. We didn't do that. We did 10 miles, and I was ready to go back to the car. But we were on this trail, and, you know, you start out all nice and tight, and then the faster ones, the guys that were the Andy Knotts of the Rock of Gainesville, they were way up ahead. And so most of the time we would have walkie-talkies with us. So the guy in the front, the guy in the back, a couple in the middle. We would stay in contact, make sure, you know, you're not getting too far, because we got to camp at some point. And at some point, the person in the front would find a place that felt like the rest of us would appreciate. And we would set up camp. And then one by one, the stragglers would finally get in. Everybody would be in camp. And then everybody would start, you know, breaking out their 85 pound backpacks and taking out their tent and setting up their tent and getting their food out and getting their water containers. And some might find a brook, and we'd go down, because we're hardcore, you know, we go down and get us some water out of the brook. Of course, we had a $400 purifier to make sure that water was good. But we would do all these things to get to the point where at some point, we would be sitting around the campfire. Everybody would have eaten. Everybody felt good. We're tired. We're thinking about bed. But boy, there would be some wonderful times around those campfires. There's something about being out in nature. And you think about it. Jesus pretty much did this for 3 solid years with his disciples. And they would talk. And they would ask Jesus questions. Jesus would give them answers. And they wouldn't get it. I don't know. I don't know, honestly, how Jesus did it without just wanting to backhand somebody It's like, how long do I have to, he actually said that at one point. How long do I have to be with you guys? You're not getting it. I'm going to the cross. No, you're not. Peter goes, I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to be the right-hand man. We're going to kick some Roman butt. We're going to take over. And Jesus goes, yeah, I ain't getting it. I didn't come to defeat Rome. I came to defeat sin. And not in everyone else, but in you guys. And he preaches this powerful message. And then we find ourselves in John 14, 15, and 16. And as you read through those three chapters, you hear Jesus over and over talking about the necessity for the Holy Spirit, the need to receive the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. This morning in this room, those of you that are watching online, I want to tell you and challenge you and encourage you, you will not live for God successfully without the Holy Spirit residing in you. He came to live in you, to dwell in you, to move in you. He's like the wind of God. And you know, the wind, you don't know that the wind's there unless it is moving. And if you say you're full of the Holy Spirit, but there's not a move of the Holy Spirit going on in your heart life, the evidence of your life is not the power of the Holy Spirit moving and shaking and making and convicting and doing whatever he does in you, then you might not have yet received. See, the Holy Spirit did not come to visit us so he could just sit inside of your physical being, you know, and go, wow, I hope they make it. No, no, no. He came to move us, to shake us, to make us, to convict us. I don't know about you, but whenever I mess up, commit a sin, don't pass out, I do every once in a while. The Holy Spirit doesn't wait a week, doesn't wait a month. I mean, right then and there, if you're walking with God and you've invited the Holy Spirit to be Lord of your life, he is right there knocking on your heart's door. He's going, is this really what you want to do? Is this really where you want to go? Is this really what you want to be a part of your life? And if it's not, then repent. Our life living for God is a continual process of allowing Holy Spirit to do what Holy Spirit does. Came to live in us, speak to us. He came to empower us to live victorious as a believer. Hear me today. If you're not walking in victory in your life, it's because you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to do what Holy Spirit does. He's come not to leave us dormant in some religious faith, but he's come to stir us in such a way that our lives are going to glorify the Father. And he's going to use us in our neighborhoods. He's going to use us in the grocery store, at the gas station, where you work, where you play. He's going to use you if you are surrendered to him. And he's not using us because we're perfect. He's using us because he's perfecting us by his Holy Spirit. We need today the Holy Spirit of God evident in our life. Not a one-time infilling, not a one-time I talked in tongues, but we need every single day, 24/7, to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God so that he can use us to touch this incredibly sick, dying world, hurting world, hurting. I'm telling you, there's not a day goes by, Suzanne, I've been saying this a lot lately. There's just a whole lot of hurting people every time we turn around, every day. Right during worship this morning, my phone beeps and I look down and it's another friend that's got a relative that's dying in the hospital, hurting. They're hurting. This person's too young to die and they're going through stuff. And Holy Spirit wants to use us to touch, to comfort, speak words of life, words of encouragement. We're going through a battle. We don't stop. We don't quit in the middle of the battle. We don't throw in the towel. Doesn't matter what the diagnosis is. Doesn't matter what the banker says. Doesn't matter what's going on in the natural. What matters is, am I surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and can He use me to touch this world that we're living? Because God did not save us just to take us to heaven. Hear me, church, this morning. If you have to slap yourself to wake yourself up to hear this morning, the Holy Spirit of God has been given to you as a gift to touch the world that you live in. Jesus declared our need to receive the Holy Spirit so that we could be like Him and become an overcomer in our world. The power that comes through the Holy Spirit changes you before it ever changes anyone else, before it ever touches anyone else. The Holy Spirit of God comes to impact your life. John chapter 15, verse 26 says, but when the Helper comes, Jesus is speaking here. This is what He says. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Power to overcome. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, for He was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but in dealing with you, we will live with Him by the power of the living God. So this morning, our necessity of the Holy Spirit, our willingness to surrender to His power, is what the world needs. And we're impacted by the cross that Jesus hung on. A few weeks ago, I was in a time of worship. Suzanne thinks that I can't worship without loud music, and I was listening. She wasn't around, so my music was blaring. She was with her sister in Asheville ministering and helping her, and I was at home, and so I had it at full blast. My house was shaking. And all of a sudden, this artist came on that recently I've come to really appreciate his songs and his style, and he sings a lot of the old stuff, and all of a sudden this guy Steve McWhirter was singing the old Rugged Cross. I found myself weeping at the magnitude of the cross, because it was on that cross that Jesus shed His blood so that we could be saved. So this morning I've asked the team, Steve and Jamie and Kristen in the band, to sing this song for us. So I want you to just listen. You can close your eyes if you need to, shut everybody else out. This is an old song, but not all old is bad, because I'm older now. Not all old is weak. There's power in this song. And so I just want to encourage you to hear this by the Spirit this morning. As you hear these words, the magnitude of the cross, the blood that Jesus shed, which we sang about in two different songs this morning, it's life-changing. Hear this song of the old rugged cross. Thank you.
cross. Emblem of suffering and so much shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange.
Said those final beautiful three words, it is finished. Galatians 5:1, Paul says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free, and I think we need to declare that today. I'm free. Come on, say that. I am free because of that old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old
I'd like to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes right where you're standing or sitting this morning, those of you watching online. today, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you do not have to leave this room, leave your home without the assurance of knowing who your Father is. To know His love and to receive the fullness that came through His Son Jesus as He was willing to go and hang on that cross for your benefit, so that the blood that He was going to shed out of His body would cleanse you from all unrighteousness, forgive you of all of your sins, redeem you from all of your past, save you for such a time as this. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, it would be my privilege and our privilege to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus to be Lord of your life today in this place, so that you can begin to walk in His love and begin to walk in the fullness of the revelation of why He created you and what your plan is for your life, what your purpose is, what He wants to do in you and through you. He loves you so much. You're not here this morning by accident. You're not watching online by accident this morning. You're here divinely appointed by God. That as you watch those 16 folks be baptized and make a public declaration that Jesus is Lord of their life today, I'm inviting you to pray that prayer where you can, without shame, declare Jesus to be Lord of your life. So this is just between you and Holy Spirit this morning and me as I look around this room. But today, if that's you, and you'd allow me to lead you in a simple prayer today to invite Jesus to be Lord of your life, I want to invite you right where you're standing just to lift up your hand and hold it nice and high so I can see it, so I can recognize it. Yes, sir, God bless you. Yes, God bless you, dear. Thank you. You can put it down once I've seen it. Yes, God bless you. Today, Jesus loves you so much. All hell is against you, but all heaven is for you. He loves you. Anyone else want to join these this morning? This is your day. This is your moment. Just like it was mine 59 years ago, I invited Jesus to be Lord of my life. He's new, it's fresh, His love is new every morning, sweeter than it's ever been today. God loves you so much. Anyone else, real quickly, just lift up your hand, let me recognize it, let me lead you in a prayer today. Today is the day of salvation. All right, I want to invite the whole congregation to join me as we pray for these few folks that have lifted their hands this morning. Pray this prayer out loud, pray it in faith. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, the one who hung on that cross and shed His blood for my benefit. Jesus, today I invite you to be Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. I repent today. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. I confess you and I receive you by faith. And I thank you this morning for loving me so much that you drew me to this place, this day, that I could know you. Be Lord of my life. I surrender my whole life for the rest of my life on this earth. I want to be in relationship with you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, I rejoice at that opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for these. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.